Hello again, and welcome to episode 71 of Bucks UK TV. I should be Alex sat before you, but unfortunately it's raining in Leighton Buzzard, which apparently means the internet's down and they're resorting to pedal power. But don't worry, the rest of the gang's all here. Tim, Gary and Mariana join the crowd today as we take part two of our roots canter through the 2022 schedule as predicted by you, our Bucks UK members. So this is where we left off last time. And as you'll see from my beginning prediction to the season and the flack I've got since, I may well be changing my name to Alex Oldham henceforth, as I'm clearly not a very popular bunny. But we had the views of our members on how you felt about the first half of the season. Steve Moore looks like a much harder gauntlet than last year. Dan Hughes, still enough wins to take the division, home playoff game, and the road to the Super Bowl. We love that kind of optimism. John Zinkus, it's a seriously tough start to the season. We had better come out firing early. And Steve Gargett's schedule is so tough this season for at least eight of the games. I was torn in which way to go. JD, I'll be happy to come out of week four at 2-2, you and me both. We should get a winning record overall. And Wayne Skettle Huff, I'm really looking forward to finally breaking the in-person duck this year at week eight in Tampa. A great 16th birthday present for Jack. So, out with the old, in with the new. You guys are the new crew. These are your predictions for the first half of the season. The important one is at the bottom. The Bucks UK member faithful have us at 6-3 at this point in the season. We're heading over to the Seahawks, except we're not, because they're coming to Munich for a home game, believe it or not, for the Bucks. We will be there screaming and shouting as best we can. We hope that as many of you as possible can be joining us. This is how you guys saw it panning out. 97% of our members, Mariana, say this is a walkover for the Bucks. And it looks like you agree, don't you?
I've got that down as a win for the Bucks. I do have to put a proviso on it. And that is, I believe you're coming, Kieran.
Yeah, don't, please.
So it's a really good opportunity for us to win, except you're going to be there.
Yeah, for those that don't know, is I've never actually seen the Bucks win a game live, only a preseason scrimmage. So I am once actually in New Orleans at home 2019, I think. I was there with David, Chris Godwin in the corner, thanks to Jameis Winston. So only one win out of games tried. So yeah. Tim, do you agree with that? You've predicted a win as well.
Yeah, I certainly do. It's a game. If Russell Wilson had been in, may have been a different call, but Drew Lock or Geno Smith should be there for the take-in.
Yeah, because we're not quite sure what's going to happen at quarterback, really, for the Seahawks. Do you think they're likely to put some points on the Bucks?
To be truthful, no. I think our defensive front will be too strong. That offensive line up there is not the best. And Geno Smith and Drew Lock, who are they in terms of top-tier NFL quarterbacks? I mean, career backups.
Well, when you're compared to the GOAT, everyone pales by comparison.
Yeah.
Gary, what about the other way around? Do you think we'll have any problems scoring on the Seahawks?
No, I can't see that at all. I think, the asterisk is always injuries, isn't it? As long as we are healthy, then this offense is going to score on any defense. And I'm seriously looking forward to seeing a fairly comfortable win. And probably more importantly, the German fans seeing a nice, comfortable win for us.
That's a really good point, and that would be an excellent springboard for the season, but also to grow that fan base. I don't know much about the German fans, other than they're all obviously NFL crazy and come to absolutely everything. And they came over to London for many, many years. There's always been a good German turnout. But I do gather there's quite a big Seahawks fan club in Germany, and we've been working really hard with Bucks Germany. Shout out to them. Follow them on Twitter if you don't already. They're really working really hard to grow that fan base. So it looks like we're rolling on a high into the bye week then. Briefly, in terms of the timing of that bye week, Tim, week 11, that's not a bad spot for a bye week, is it?
Right, I like it. It's one of those ones where if you're into a bye week in week 14, 15, it's too far away. This was roughly when we had to buy when we won the Super Bowl and we came on the run. It was either week 11, week 12, I can't quite remember which. Came at the perfect time, as Gary's alluded to get to that point. It'll give us another week, freshen up the players, get the injured players back if we have any. Fingers crossed we don't. So, yeah, perfect spot for me.
Which then takes us onto the Browns. Now, Mariana, we were talking about this before. We were trying to count on our fingers and taking our socks off, trying to work out whether Deshaun Watson's back in time. We don't think he is, do we?
I think we added it up and we said it's our week 12, but it's their week 11, and he's suspended for the 11 games. So looking at that, I mean, I think he could make a difference, but he has been out for a long time. So it's just that thing of him coming back and maybe having, you know, a point to prove coming back that could have maybe put certainly a different sort of complexion on the game. But I think as it stands, I think we probably beat the Browns quite easily in that week.
Gary, the Browns, we're going to be away and it's an early game. Have you ever been to Cleveland? I'm reckoning that's got to be pretty chilly by that point, isn't it?
Yeah, you would think so. It's quite a long way up north. Mm. I've been through the airport at Cleveland. I haven't been other than that into the city or certainly not to the stadium. Away does worry me a little bit, to be honest. All away games do. But I don't think the advantage at a lot of the grounds is the same as you get, for example, over here at the soccer grounds, probably with the exception of this one. I mean, they've got a pretty rabid fan base, haven't they? But, you know, the key is going to be Deshaun Watson. In a way, I hope he does play because he won't have played a game for 2 years. And, you know, there's an awful lot of rust. Just talking about injuries, here's an off-the-wall prediction for you. I think we have a new centre for this game.
Okay, you think he's going to be back?
And his name is Ryan Jensen. That's my prediction. They're playing a game with us, aren't they? They're not telling us what's going on. So I think he'll be back sooner, a bit sooner than it's been predicted.
I'm just looking up online. His first game back will be the Browns versus the Texans in week 13. So, yeah, so we won't be facing Watson no matter what. But I think it'd be really good to have some of the injured players coming back and bolstering the ranks at that point. And how close do you think the game's going to be then?
I don't think it'll be that close. You mentioned the weather. I've actually been outside Cleveland's ground. It is right on the lake. And if that weather gets up, it will blow a gale up there. I'd much rather have a good quarterback and a very good running back that we've got against an average quarterback and a decent running back that they've got. I would still think we would win.
And a quarterback who's done it in the cold. The wind, the rain, the snow and everything else that the winters up in Boston threw at him. So
that's right. And that stadium, Gillette Stadium, was very exposed and gusty, wasn't it? So that does bode well. And it's nice that it's an early game for us guys, because that means it's a 6 p.m. kickoff here. Mariana, do you think the Bucks UK have called it right then? If you were a betting person, would you say that the Browns only have a 1 in 10 chance of winning that game?
I might put it a little bit more to the Browns, slightly more, but I think we've got a good solid chance of winning it. You say there's always with an away game, you know, and as you say, the cold and stuff, but I'd maybe say a more sort of 75-25. I feel like we're very confident on some of our wins at the moment.
Well, there are certainly some pewter tinted spectacles out there, yeah, potentially.
Definitely.
But that's the joy of being a fan, isn't it, really? We're all fans. But that does mean then rolling into the Saints as they come to Raymond James for Monday Night Football. I mean, that's going to be a really big game, I would have thought, by this point of the season. And it looks like 2, 4, 6, 8. Yeah, so the Bucs are 8-3, I think, at that point, according to our fan base. So that means, wow, look at that. Our members thought we were going to lose against them in week 2, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they collapse. Tim, do you think the Saints are going to collapse by this point?
I don't think they'll collapse, but I think this is a different game in Tampa to what it is in New Orleans. I also think by then we might not be seeing Jameis Winston, depending on how he performs. And yes, we seem to lose every game against New Orleans since Brady came there, but this will be Brady's last chance to play them because they will not make the playoffs. So this will be Brady's last go to really turn them over, and we'll do it in some style against what is probably one of the better defenses in the league, though.
Yeah, that does seem to be the side of the ball where they've got some consistency. Gary, do you think that's about right?
I do. I think we'll win, certainly. I mean, they've got had the Indian sign over, haven't they, for goodness knows how long. But that tide has got to turn. The big thing for me missing from the Saints is Sean Payton on the sidelines. I mean, he's going to go in the Hall of Fame, clearly. If you lose a Hall of Fame coach,
yeah,
then, you know, that's bound to make a difference. You know, Peyton was really good at these trick plays, odd things, you know, with Taysom Hill particularly. I mean, look at that touchdown that Jameis threw against us in the playoffs a couple of years back. He's always coming up with stuff like that. He's not there. So, you know, this is one for Brady. He will want to win this probably more than any other game than we've had all year.
Yeah, it's a really interesting angle. I hadn't thought of that sort of personal grudge and the box ticking of making sure I actually know the Saints weren't the boogie team that we couldn't get one over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, that bodes well then. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. 9-3, I think that puts us now. Is that right? Maybe 2, 4, 6, 8. Yeah, 9-3. And then we're away and on the road for a late West Coast game, which is against the 49ers. And I think you could roll a dice on what the 49ers are going to be doing this year. And I think that's probably borne out by the predictions with Alex saying a win, Tim saying a win, but Gary and Manny and Mariana saying that actually there's a bit of a loss looming here. I think it is a bit of a roll of the dice. Mariana, kind of how did you come up with loss there?
Yeah, I think another away game. I think it very much depends again on how their quarterback situation works out. In my mind, this has got like Trey Lance, well, either Trey Lance working out and being a really good quarterback for them, or Jimmy Garoppolo coming back in, who we've actually seen can play well at quarterback anyway. So, you know, but having that sort of decision set, and I think they will push for a playoff place themselves. So I think they've got a lot of good players on their squad. They've been sort of up and around there. I felt like that one away on the West Coast as well. So it's, you know, it's a bit of a slightly longer travel.
Journey. Yeah.
I don't think there was anything that like really stood out. I just felt like that would be the tougher game.
The Jimmy Garoppolo point's a really good one, you know, because actually I think the rest of the league's probably looking at them and going, what on earth are you doing? I mean, Gary, you said that it's a loss as well. Was that based on the sort of quarterback controversy or more about just how it all pans out?
Certainly not the quarterback controversy, no. I just think the travel, the time difference, and also the fact that, I mean, I'd love to say that we're going to win every single game, but we're not going to. And there's always games that, quite frankly, you should win, but you don't. And I just had that feeling that this is going to be I put the Steelers game as well to lose. And that's another game that, quite frankly, we should win. But that and the Steelers and the 49ers are the two games that I just have this funny feeling that we're going to lose to a team, quite frankly, inferior to us.
Hard, isn't it? I think San Francisco have got some really good star players, but I think probably it's the depth where they probably miss out. I think there's a few weaknesses there. Tim, you didn't seem quite so concerned though. Well, why is this a win for the Bucs?
it's a win because they aren't sure who they really got in Trey Lance. I watched a bit of him in practice, watching him on video in the summer. On plays, he couldn't hit a barn door from 5 feet. But then he's got the legs and everything under him then, which will cause us some issues. Jimmy Garoppolo will just stand there and lob the ball. I don't see any problem in that. It's just the unknown of Trey Lance, as Mariana said. We don't know quite what he's going to be. But you made a very good point then, Kieran. Their depth isn't great. Their running backs, fairly average. Their receivers, Debo Samuel, he's had one good season so far. We
always
all
injured. Kittle seems to sometimes go to sleep.
They're a good, solid team. But we've also got, if I could say that, I'll refer to it once again, the Tom Brady farewell tour, going back to the team that should have taken him in free agency a few years ago. Will he have a point to prove?
Well, let's hope so, because we obviously, what we want to do is, you know, we want to give them a higher draft pick. That's what we're all about. We're all friendly. You know, we like the front office connections going on. It's all friendly, so let's hope that we can help them out. But the Bucs UK faithful, 53-47. I'm just checking down the line. That's the closest game, I think, that the members tried to call. So, that could go either way.
I think that's probably right as well.
Which then takes us towards the end of the back end of the season. Now, the back sort of quarter, if you like, almost, although it doesn't really work out, 17 games. And I think this is another variable one. We've got the Bengals. 63% of the Bucs UK members say we're going to win this. So sort of a two-thirds, one-third. But I think that's probably helped by the factors at home. But, obviously, Alex isn't here to say why he thinks it's a win. I think it's a win probably because we've just got some momentum at that point. But I suspect, Gary, you've probably got a slightly more technical view.
I wish I could say yes to that. they're a very good team, obviously, the Bengals, coming off the Super Bowl. I think we'd have beaten them in the Super Bowl if we'd have played them. They've got some fantastic receivers, and clearly they've got, you know, probably in 10 years' time, we'll be saying he's the second Tom Brady in Joe Burrow. But as we alluded to with the 49ers, they've got two or three good players. You can take two or three good players out of the game. If you take the receivers out of the game for the Bengals and make them rely on Mixon, yeah, he's very good, but he's not going to be able to do it on his own. I just thought it's going to be a close game, but I think this is a game we'll pull out.
I think you're right. I think actually the fact you highlighted their receivers, definitely going to be a big game for the secondary. Mariana, is that kind of what you see, one of the main matchups, or what else will you be looking at?
Yeah, I think kind of where Gary's going, I think we're kind of later in the season. You can't discount that they won't have an injury or two. You know, maybe, you know, we already know that the Burrow's come off a sort of major injury. I just don't feel like they're going to repeat that same success that they had last year. You know, kind of the same way that we didn't, but almost to the point that it kind of was like a one-off year for them. Everything came together, super special. They got to the Super Bowl. You know, everything in their season went right. This might be the year that they just have like a weird injury or something, you know, and it just doesn't pan out and it doesn't kind of repeat in that same magical way. And that's kind of what I was feeling, you know. Burrow, maybe, well, I hope not because I like the lad, but, you know, maybe Jamar Chase is the one that has a hamstring or something and has to sit out a couple of games, or maybe it's Mixon that's injured, or, you know, I just feel like it's not going to be that same magical year for them this year.
It's the same with the Bucs. The Bucs got to the Super Bowl because they managed to avoid any serious injuries. I think you're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
If I was a geeky stats guy for Football Outsiders, I'd start talking about regression to the mean. But truthfully, I don't know what I'm talking about. So, but Tim, you obviously do, because you're saying loss. So what do you think's the difference maker in this game?
I think this is the best young triplets in the league in Chase, Mixon and Joe Burrow. I hate to do this because one of my best friends is a Bengals fan and we have a bet every year on this game. I hate to do this, but I think this is probably the best team behind Buffalo in the AFC and will be a challenge to beat all around. I like this signing of a right guard from Tampa. I can't quite remember his name now, as he doesn't play for us anymore. But Alex Capper, I thought, was a great pickup for them.
Capper, you're dead to us now, we wish you well.
Yeah, we really do. He is a really good pickup for them. But I love their skill players. I'm a big fan of Mixon, Barrow. T. Higgins, as long as he stays fit this year, which is one of his issues, I think that boy's a bit of an unknown superstar coming in. So we've got to watch, and our weakness can sometimes be our secondary against their strength. So it's
it sounds like you're sort of saying this could be actually quite a high scoring game.
Oh yeah, I can see 30 points aside in this.
Mm. Well, it will certainly be exciting to watch. And again, we want, you know, home games being the exciting ones with the extra stand now in the stadium. Hopefully Raymond James can be a little bit louder, a little bit more like Seattle's 12th man. That'd be really good to see some noise and maybe be a difference maker. Then we have another primetime game. It's the Cardinals rough on the road. It's not quite as far across the country as the West Coast, but it's not a short distance. And this is interesting, guys. So 80% almost of the Bucks think this is a win. So they were pretty confident. But our panel, I bet Alex is glad he's not here now to defend his lost prediction. But maybe, Gary, if we come to you first. I mean, aside from the Arians connection, we don't know much about the Cardinals from experience, do we?
Well, no, we probably don't. But they've got Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just see him going off on one. Tim and I were actually there 4 or 5 years ago when they absolutely battered us. It was 40 odd to next to nothing, and it wasn't that close in fairness. Christmas Day as well, I can see that taking a bit of a toll. You know, players away from their families on days when they want to be at home with the family, long journey again.
Oh, yes, this is 1 a.m. Boxing Day morning for us then, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be.
Boxing Day is my eldest son's birthday. Samuel, I apologise in advance if I'm slightly tired on your birthday.
it's a bit of a toss-up again, but, you know, home field advantage almost.
And yeah, I think, and actually they've got that really good sort of, it's a nice stadium, but it's grass. They've got a good setup there. Kyler Murray, I think, is obviously a good point as you raised. He's one of those, I mean, it says underrated is probably slightly sort of disingenuous. People know about him, but I don't think he ever really gets the glory that he deserves. I mean, Mariana, was he a factor in your thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe not underrated, but everyone still sort of points out that he's undersized, and that still comes up. Even though he's, you know, he's kind of actually proven himself in the role for the past couple of seasons, and so, you know, I feel like maybe he has kind of shook that off. I think he plays in an offense that they play to the sort of strength of him. It feels more of a college-y style offense almost. So they've always kind of played to his strengths. I think I feel like they upgraded their wide receivers over the sort of off season, because they kind of let Christian Kirk go, who I think, to be honest, I felt like was kind of at the end of his sort of career, and they brought in Marquise Brown, didn't they? And AJ Green, I think. So they felt like, to me, slight upgrades on what he had there previously. Again, like you'll say, a Sunday night away from home, Christmas Day. Yeah, it felt like that one where I think also it will depend on how the rest of our season has gone. I think if the rest of the season has gone the way that we're looking at it, are we even starting to look at like resting players who might have knocks or stuff like that?
That's an excellent point, because we could well have wrapped up the division by this point, or certainly have locked up a playoff place.
Yeah. So that's what I was thinking with the two sort of more divisional games coming up at the end. We might be looking at those as being relatively easy anyway. We might even think, oh, we've got a knock on someone. Do we rush him back, or do we leave him sat out for a couple more weeks? So it might be something where someone's kind of sitting on the edge of coming back. And again, like we were saying about Jensen or someone, well, maybe we don't bring Jensen back you know, before long, or we look at him and think, well, we'll play him in kind of easier games to bring him up to speed or something. So I just felt like a banana skin game, this one. It really did.
It does. And obviously, while Gary was talking about his sort of post-traumatic stress disorder he's suffering from previous wounds, yeah, Tim was with him, but clearly, Tim, you have the forgetful memory that all Buccaneers fans need to have to stay faithful. So you're the if we were on NFL Network at the moment, you'd be wearing the fairy hat and howling as the lone wolf. How would you say, why do you think this is the win?
Well, it's easy to forget that day. Me and Gary drank copious amounts of shock top while we were there. But I see this game. I like Callum Murray. I'm not the biggest fan in the world of his, but I think all you need to do for this Arizona offense is defend Callum Murray. And you defend him like Derek Brooks did with Michael Vick. And you put Devin White on him and you take his running ability out of the game and force him to beat you with his arm. And that's where he lacks a little bit. He does well in space. He's not great if you keep him in tight. So that's my one point. The other point is, I'm not a great fan of James Conner. He will probably be down injured by then and will limit their offense. So I just see us not easy, because this was one of my closer call games, actually. But I see us just squeaking this one on the road.
Go on, give us a little howl just for old time's sake.
Oh, no, I can't.
Come on, be the lone wolf for us. There we go. Okay, so that then takes us on to what we think is probably the other consensus game of the season. We're at home. It's an early game. Presumably, the Panthers don't have very much to play for by now. There's not a Bucs UK member, Gary, amongst us that thinks this game is worth watching. What do you say?
Well, it's worth watching because it's a Bucs game. And it'll be worth watching because, quite frankly, we should be putting up a million points on them. I mean, this game and the Falcons game week 5 at home, they've got to be the two easiest games of the season. And this is a game that, assuming the season goes the way we hope, Brady will start, and then at halftime he'll come out with a baseball cap on, and we might even see young Mr. Trask even.
Oh, that's a nice idea. Using the time helpfully rather than just putting Gabbert in.
Indeed.
If that's the case, what do you want to see from Trask?
I would like to see him play like he played against Miami in pre-season. I thought he did quite well in that game. He didn't do so well in the next two. But, he seemed poised. He took his time in the pocket. He stepped up in the pocket when he needed to. Everybody said he didn't have much pocket presence. I put it down to the opposite. I thought he had a lot of pocket presence and he was waiting for his man to come open. So I like what he did in that Miami game. And if he does, by any chance, get into, you know, this or the Falcons game the following week, then I'd love to see him play well.
Him with CMC running the ball, you can never count the Panthers out. Do you think they've got a chance in this game?
No. I can't put it any other way, but no, they won't. Christian McCaffrey, yeah, great talent. What's he done since he signed his big contract? Spent a lot of time in, you know, emergency ward 10. And that's the knock on Christian McCaffrey, unfortunately. Who knows what Baker Mayfield might produce? You know, he's been written off now in Cleveland, so he's got his second chance. He's a dogged player. He's not going to give up. But they haven't got enough, or shouldn't have enough, to challenge the Bucs at all.
I think we hope so. But obviously, potentially under Gary's scenario with Trask playing, you could, you know, there might be other starters that are actually maybe out as well. Mariana, what do you think it's going to take for the Panthers to win this game then? Other than act of God.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that might... Here's a prediction. I think Matt Rhule is on very limited time. And have they already kicked him out by then? Have they got, you know, someone else in charge and the team just plays out their skin for whoever else is in there at that point?
Or their own jobs, perhaps, then, in that scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe they're playing to prove themselves to that next coach, or to, you know, to prove, as you say, to save their jobs. So maybe that's the one sort of, like, weird case scenario I can see. I think Baker Mayfield will play quite well at the Panthers. I think he'll, you know, given a chance, he's got at least a couple of decent receivers there. But I just think they don't have the overall strength of a team. And I just, as you say, Christian McCaffrey, there's a high likelihood he's already injured by that point. And I think they're probably rudderless by that point. I don't think Matt Rhule will be there in week 17 if they're on a losing by even probably week 8 or 9. I think they're looking at getting rid of him. He's just not had the success there.
This could be a bad time. We don't want easy opponents this close to the postseason. We don't want to lose our edge. Speaking of losing our edge, then we're on to the Falcons. We're on the road. We don't know what day it is. We don't know what time it is. We don't even know if the Falcons are going to show up. But I think that's two members, I think, said they were going to win. I presume they've got some sort of scenario where, like, we've got 53 players rested. Marianne, I mean, we're 13-3 going into this game, according to the Bucks UK members. Is that, how realistic is that scenario?
I mean, I think our, I feel like our predictions at the tail end of the season feel more than, like, unfortunately, I think some of your, I don't know. I think if we have a successful start to the season, that is how our season ends. As you say, that last game, maybe if we rest everyone, but I just, yeah, that tail end of the season feels easier than that sort of front end of the season, just because of how it finishes up. So I think, I just feel like that is a good chance of us being at such a good record by then.
So, Tim, there's no more Matty Ice to worry about. They've got sort of a half-good underperforming tight end. Quite a nice kicker. That's about it, isn't it, for the Falcs?
Home field advantage. I was at this very game last year where the Bucks outnumbered virtually the Falcons home fans. The stadium was half empty. And it was not quite anywhere near the end of the season, and they'd already given up on that team. With Matt Ryan gone now, Marcus Mariota probably won't be in position by then. I can see Desmond Ridder playing from mid-season on at that team. Pitts looks a good player, but you name me someone else in that team who you would want. And I can't think of anybody.
Challenge from Tim.
Oh, I'm just trying to think. And
I can't.
Quite frankly,
twice a year. That's quite an indictment, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm convinced that they're tanking. They want one of these quarterbacks coming out of college next year. This is not going to be a contest at all. This might be our easiest game of the season, and I can see us, to be honest, resting a lot of players again in this. Although I hope we don't, because my personal belief is that it backfires when teams do that. I think you made the point a minute ago about keeping your edge, and I think that's what we need to do. Sit them for the second half, pull them out, you know, as the game goes on, but start the game as you mean to go on.
Hard, isn't it? Because hindsight's always 20/20. If you do that and anyone goes down injured in the first half, you made the wrong call. But if you go straight into the wild card or the divisional round and get wiped out, you made the wrong call.
It's Tony Dungy.
Yeah, it's hard.
If we're on that sort of schedule by that point, though, there's probably a good chance that we're sort of getting a that early bye as well. So, you know, if that really is our results at that point, that's the only reason I think you would rest them going into that week, because I think.
But that's exactly what Tony Dungy did when he was at the Colts. And they had the bye, so their starters...
Oh, sorry, I meant the other way around. My brain's, like, fizzling out.
And they then lost, I believe.
Or... Yeah, no, you keep them playing if you've got the bye. Mm. But if you don't have the bye, then it might be worth resting for a short while, as you say, pulling them out. My brain's a bit off today.
I guess if anyone's got a high sprain or a bit of turf toe or something, obviously that's probably a different kettle of fish. There's an injury reason or a safety reason. And you know what? If you haven't got anyone apart from the starting five in there, I don't want Tom Brady taking snaps because he's got nothing to prove.
Yeah, I think we all know that Brady can take a week off and not, you know, not really. It doesn't matter so much for him.
He can take 11 days off, it turns out, and come back and be voted team captain. He can do no wrong, clearly. So there is our predictions. Only three losses, so a 14-3 record, so say the Bucks UK. If you're a betting person, I reckon you can get some fairly solid odds on that. Gary wants to make sure we're still competitive in week 18. He allegedly nothing to do with the fact his fantasy football team is probably still going to be in contention at that point.
I doubt it.
The retired truckers one more time. So we also asked our members to think about who the easiest opponent and who the hardest opponent on the years would be. For the easiest opponent, there's probably no surprise that the Falcons came back, and that's probably backed up. But what I thought was interesting is the second largest one there is the Seahawks. And Mariana, our members were clearly probably a little bit more blasé than we were in our review. They're not that bad a team, are they?
I wouldn't have... And... Maybe because they've got further to come for the game. Because they're
I think
coming...
it could be the quarterback issue. I think it's the fact that they've got they're players that maybe we don't know as well, or they're not as gelled.
I mean, certainly the quarterback room, when you look at the choices between Drew Lock and Geno Smith, doesn't exactly scream like excellence at you. I've watched quite a bit of Geno Smith due to, you know, poor choices of partner. And so I have seen Geno Smith play, and I can't say he ever, you know, blew me away or anything. But I still wouldn't put the Seahawks, you know, as that second one. As I say, only the fact that they've got a bigger time difference coming into because they're coming over from the West Coast. Maybe it's going to be a bit tougher for them to acclimatise than us.
Yeah, and I think I can't quite tell whether it's one or two members that have got the Ravens, but I think Gary from the previous one, I think you had the Ravens down as maybe toppling the Bucks. So I don't think you would have said they're the easiest opponent, would you?
No, I don't think they are. I think they're a really well coached team, and they have, you know, the wild card that is Lamar Jackson. I mean, who knows what he's going to do?
I think even his worst day, I think I would take over some of the quarterbacks the Bucks have had in the past.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But he has days when, you know, he can't throw to save his life, and other days where he's, you know, Dan Marino-ing, you know, again. But what he can do, of course, is run. And I know what Tim will say, put Devin White on him. But, you know, he's just a bit of a wild card for me.
I got to agree, Gary, because that's the game I picked this to lose as well. Mm. It's you never quite know what you're going to get, but he's got a better defense as well to go with it. So that's what gets him through. I've heard good things about Mike Davis coming up, but there was also good things said about him when he went to Atlanta and he flamed out as a number one back. So
that's a really good point, Tim. The Ravens defense is normally one of the first off the board, isn't it, in the fantasy football?
Yes.
It's good call. So then, in terms of the hardest opponent, I suspect this is probably harder for fans to pick. And here it is. Bizarrely, the Seahawks are in here as well. Again, that must be one or two people. So they are both the easiest and the hardest person. You have it here from the multiple personality disorder Bucks UK fan club. But I think the hardest game there, Tim, we're saying is the Rams. Do you think that's a bit of a sore memory from last year?
Probably is, yes. They are a really good side. The doubt on them at the moment will be how serious Stafford's injury is at this moment. They're saying they'll be back, but they're keeping that one quite quiet. They are a good team. They're uncertain at running back, really. Cooper Kupp, superb. And that defence led by Aaron Donald. That is the best defensive player in the league by a long way over the last 10 years.
Yeah. So and then the Chiefs, Gary, are the next one down on the podium as to who we think the hardest opponent is. Again, from memories from the year before, presumably because we knew that Mahomes was missing two linemen, and now he's got those two linemen or replacements in situ.
Could be. I'm not sure they'll be the same team. They certainly won't be the same team on offense without Tyreek Hill. I'm hoping this is going to be a nice, easy walkover game because I'm going to be at it. I don't want a nail biter. Thank you very much indeed. Thinking about it logically, though, the Rams most difficult, Chiefs second most difficult. I don't think you can really argue with that, quite frankly.
And of course, the Chiefs have got Ronald Jones coming back to Tampa. Who knows?
I was one of the people that wasn't sure if he was going to make the roster. So well done to him. Mm. He's done well there because there's a couple of the running back stable there probably isn't the best in the NFL, but it was fairly solid with names that people had heard of. And you think actually there's maybe not necessarily all the gaps there. Mariana, the third down the list then is the Dallas Cowboys, and of course that's the season opener. Do you think when the Bucs UK members were thinking about that, they were thinking about who or when or a bit of both?
Yeah, I think I'm not sure how the Cowboys are going to be this season. I'm really not. There's quite a few teams I think that are floating around that I'm not certain how they're going to pan out until, you know, their first 4 weeks as well. And I think the Cowboys is one that I would put like that. It depends how Dak Prescott plays. It depends, is Zeke back playing a bit better because he seemed off form last season, but they do have some good players on their squad, so I can see it. And it's, you know, it's always the first game out there, as you say, the first game, you know, coming out. Are we rusty at that point? So is it down to people thinking that maybe they're not the hardest team, but it is the hardest opponent, as in the hardest game, rather than the... It's how you kind of review that hardest opponent.
That's right. I guess. And we gave our members a voice again as to what they thought. Tom Lawrence, I love his optimism. The schedule is favourable. I think we'd all thought it was a nightmare when it came out, but we're capable of 17-0, but we'll buck up some games and beat ourselves. Phil Bushby, O-line strength will be the biggest factor in our wins or losses this season. And already that's, I think he wrote that before Jensen went down. So clearly I think he was probably quite psychic on that one. Andy Harwood, last few weeks against teams likely out of contention will be handy for us to improve our seeding, as we raised that point. Phil McKenzie, he's the good-looking one on the right. Ignore the chap on the left. I see the Saints as the only divisional competition. Even then, should be pretty safe bet to win the division. And finally, Jay Earhart, Super Bowl or bust. Chris Briffith, Super Bowl winning season with TB winning, 12 winning league and Super Bowl MVP and retiring. I mean, tell it how you want it to be. That the storybook stories go. That could be up there. So I guess overall, then, obviously, all of our members talking Super Bowl. We don't dare predict the playoffs. We just want to get there first of all. However, Tim, how far do you think the Bucs can go?
Realistically, minimum division, probable championship game. Who knows then?
Yeah. Gary, do you agree?
I think we're capable of going all the way. But, you know, as we've said, we've all said on this podcast many, many times, it's down to injuries. If we keep everybody healthy, and you can trot TB12 out there every week and he can do his thing. And, you know, Mike Evans is there catching his 1,000-yard season and his 13 or 14 touchdowns. You know, we can go all the way. We just need some luck with injuries and one or two other teams to have perhaps a little bit of bad luck with injuries.
So Mariana, how badly should I be saving up for air flights in February?
Yeah, I'm gonna go stupidly optimistic and sort of go with those sort of last two feelings, that magical, this is Brady's year. He came back specially for it. He's coming back and he's going to somehow drive this team to the Super Bowl and drive them to the win. He's already talking up his O-line. I saw today he's telling them, you know, everyone's dismissing you as not being a great O-line and, you know, I believe in you. So I believe in the Brady effect. So he's going to do it for us.
Brilliant. I think Phil would probably have used very similar words. I think he feels the same way. I personally, I think once you get into the playoffs, it's a roll of the dice and a crapshoot, and everyone's a good team at that point. But I think we've got as good a shot as anyone. I think we're definitely looking at playoffs. I'd love us to get that bye. I'd love us to get home field advantage. I think I remember what we did against the Chiefs. I wouldn't want to try and... That's not by design how you want to go around doing things and getting your way through the playoffs, having to go on the road every single place, ironically, to come back and win it at home. But we shall see. So, Tim, Gary, Mariana, thank you very much for your views. Everyone at home, thank you for watching. If you're not a member, get over to bucksuk.org and click on join if you're in the UK. If you're not, like us, poke us, stab us, whatever you want to do on social media these days, do it all. Interact with us. Tell us in the comments below whether you agree with us or disagree with us. Also, head over to Bucks Report. Thanks to them for their help in promoting our work as well. And we work really closely with them. We're looking forward to catching up with them over in Munich. And as we end every podcast, thank you. We'll see you next time. And go Bucks!
Go Bucks!
Go Bucks!